With K-State Research and Extension's Wildcat District, this is Jesse Gilmore bringing you this week's edition of the Hort Report. Last week on our radio segment, we discussed pesticides as a whole, and this week we will take a look specifically at herbicides. Herbicides are chemicals that are used to kill plants. There are 16 different ways that herbicides can disrupt the natural growth of a plant, but these can be sorted into three main groups: non-selective, broadleaf selective, and grass selective. Broadleaf selective herbicides will not kill grasses and vice versa. Non-selective herbicides will kill any plant it touches, whether you want it to or not. For this reason, it is especially important to control drift from any non-selective herbicides like Roundup. Last week, we discussed labels and the plants listed on them. For herbicides, there will be two groups of plants: the plants the chemical controls and the plants the herbicide can be applied to. While commonly mistaken for the same thing, these groups have different meanings. Controlled plants are the plants that are killed, while plants you can apply the herbicide to are plants that will not have any herbicide injury when sprayed with the proper rate. You need to check the label to ensure that both the plants you want to kill and the plants you don't want to kill are listed. Even a broadleaf selective herbicide can cause more injury on some grass species than others, and some broadleaf plants are more sensitive to stronger grass killers. Checking for both is the best guarantee that you will kill only the plants you want to kill. Herbicides can work through contact or through uptake by the plant's roots. Most herbicides will fall into the contact group, especially if the plant you're targeting is herbaceous. Woody plants, trees, shrubs, and vines, will require systemic herbicides to kill off the roots and eliminate the chances of resprouting. Contact herbicides will only work if the spray is given enough time to evaporate after application. This evaporation is what causes the chemical to be taken up by the plant. If the spray is washed off by rain before it has a chance to evaporate, your herbicide application will be ineffective, and the chemical could be carried to sensitive plants that you didn't want to kill. If it looks like it might rain, hold off on your application until a sunny day. There are also pre-emergent and post-emergent herbicides. Post-emergent herbicides will kill seedlings and mature plants, while pre-emergent herbicides will kill weeds before they have a chance to emerge from the soil. While there are exceptions, almost all post-emergent herbicides will be in liquid form, either a concentrate that you need to dilute with water or a premix that is ready to apply when bought. Pre-emergent herbicides, on the other hand, will often be granular or pelleted that you apply, much in the same way as seeding a lawn. Once the herbicide is applied, it will form a chemical layer at the top of the soil that scorches any seedlings that try to sprout. It's most often used in yards, but can also be applied to garden beds. If you're going to overseed your yard, any pre-emergent you apply will also kill the grass seedlings, so you will want to wait until most of your seed has germinated before applying pre-emergents. Some products will be labeled as a weed and feed. This is usually a combination of fertilizer and pre-emergent herbicide, and is an excellent product if you're not planning on planting seeds in your garden or yard. Just remember to check the label before purchasing so that you don't end up with any nasty surprises. For more information on today's topic, contact your local extension office. I can be reached at 620-724-8233. Or by email at jr637@ksu.edu. Once again, this is Jesse Gilmore bringing you this week's Hort Report.